Agents Podcast.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Power ISA, the industry experts in real estate ISAs. Get more appointments. Make sure your follow-up gets done on time and you get the most out of your leads. Get a great ISA for real estate on your team and watch the results roll in. Power ISA has served over 1,200 agents in the U.S. and Canada since 2015, and it's the one-stop shop for everything you need to get a great inside sales agent on your team. Whether it's setting appointments with your internet leads or making outbound prospecting calls to help you get more listings, Power ISA can get it done for you. Visit powerisa.com/LCA to get started. That's powerisa.com/LCA.
So I'm starting a new series talking to some successful YouTubers because I am getting requested by more and more people to come and teach and speak about YouTube specifically. And I will tell you, as someone who dives into all of the social medias, I feel like YouTube is one of the more advanced platforms. And it scares me when people come to me and say, I'm not doing anything, I want to jump. It's like going from kindergarten to college. And so many people aren't ready for that. And that is part of the reason why we're doing this series. But I'm talking to agents that will not intimidate you. They are doing great things with YouTube. And my guest today is Cheryl Willis, who has leaned all in to YouTube. And she's going to tell us her story. She's going to give you her strategy. She's going to talk about what works, why it's working, and help you decide if YouTube might be best for you. So Cheryl, I'm excited to have you here. So thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I was just overjoyed to be a part of what you're putting together. And I know you help so many people. This is so exciting.
Thank you. Well, you're going to help a lot of people today. So I'm going to pull it all out of you. So let's start with this. You're in the Phoenix area. Give us your background. So for anybody that doesn't know you, tell us kind of how you came to be where you are today. Give us the kind of the story behind it.
Well, I've been in the business 20 years, so I have seen just about every type of market you can possibly imagine. And one of the things that I learned very on, again, 20 years ago, it was a healthy buyer's market. Sorry, it was a healthy seller's market. And then we went into a little bit of a market crash, right? Mm-hmm. Only the Great Recession, right? One of the things I learned then is the word pivot. That was my word before COVID. And I also was turned on to a little tiny book, literally. It's a little paperback that's called Who Moved My Cheese? And one of the things you just wanted, I think real estate, I always newer agents, I tell people you can't be great at everything. Find something that you're really good at and passionate about. That's the most important part, and stick with it and just be really great at one thing instead of average at too many things. Mm-hmm. So over my last 20 years, my bucket has changed quite a bit. I went from being buyer's agent, then I went from massive short sales to then teaching short sales. Then from working with all the banks, I became an REO agent. It just kind of pivoted. I'll tell you, my life made a 10x change when COVID hit. In two ways. Number one, my business crashed when I say the market shut down, like the world shut down. In fact, it was literally 4 years ago this very week when I started receiving phone calls from buyers and sellers going, cancel my deal. I lost 7 deals in 1 week.
Ooh.
Oh yeah. It was. And of course, nobody knew what was going on, right? And I was panic attacking.
I imagine. For sure.
And I kind of had to reset a new thing. At that time, I was doing a lot of Facebook. And I was doing that whole digital mayor thing, right? And so everybody knew who I was in the area. I specialized in the food and beverage and entertainment industry. And so when the world shut down, think about it, the restaurants, remember, restaurants and bars were freaking out, right? And the one thing about my market too, it is local mom and pop shop restaurants, not big corporate money. We didn't have a lot of Applebee's. We didn't have that kind of thing. It was a small individual mom and pop shops. And I received a phone call from an owner. It's called Blackberry Cafe. They barely had established themselves here. They were originally from Chicago. I had done a little, video for them, and they called me and they said, "Cheryl," in their cute little accent. They weren't from America originally. And they were like, "Help me. I don't know how to do this social media stuff." And I was like, "Yeah, what do you guys got going on?" They're like, "We're offering, we'll run out to the car. We'll provide free coffee while you're waiting for your food. We'll put," like, they were telling me what they're doing. And I called some of my friends that really knew Facebook ads and Instagram ads. And so we, for about 2 months straight, did nothing but work for small businesses for free. All we did, I did, it was called Go Chandler, and I did it called Go Chandler Live every day, weekdays at 4 p.m. I was either promoting a local bar or restaurant, or a local musician would perform at 4 p.m. So this is, again, when people were sitting at home, they didn't know what they were doing, and I was getting out there. So I got to meet a lot of people that I felt like were in worse situations than I was in. And it let me give more than freak out, right? It took away my anxiety. And I was helping these people. And just that right there completely changed who I was also as a realtor. And then couple months into this, like I said, I did 90 something, 92 days straight of Go Chandler Lives, helped so many people, did food box
And
programs.
this is all the while you just lost a bunch of deals and
Over
you're
$4
thinking to
million
yourself,
dollars worth of revenue.
how am I going to pay my bills? What's going on in the world? I mean, come on, that's interesting. Interesting pivot.
Right. Yeah. Well, I did a lot of speaking to, good old God, like, let it go, and he'll figure it out for me. Like, he'll figure it
Good for
out.
you.
And then it was around August 2020 when I met my business partner. And my business partner is Jesse Dow. Jesse had a very successful YouTube channel in Portland, Oregon. And he, coming from Portland, he was just like, "I'm done with the craziness here. Like, I'm just getting out of here." And so he popped down to Arizona. He saw me on Facebook and kind of reached out. We're just kind of messaging, I think even like Instagram, like it just that whole social network, right? And he's like, "I'm pulling into town tomorrow. Let's meet up." And the first thing he asked me was, so do you do mostly buyers or sellers?" And I said, "I do mostly listings." And he said, "Oh, that's too bad." And I was like, "Why?" And he's like, "Let's talk." And I'll tell you, that was the beginning of my YouTube journey.
He reverse psychology'd you.
He did. I wanted what I couldn't have. Totally, totally me.
Well played. Well played, Jesse. And by the way, a little shout out, which we'll talk a little bit about them. Jesse Dow, Jackson Wilkie of Channel Junkies, which I've interviewed multiple times on the podcast. Some of the OGs that execute on YouTube at a very, very high level, just to give some context there. So carry on.
We started. Here's the thing, YouTube is, it doesn't happen overnight, right? And I love it when I talk to a few people, and they'll ask me, "How do I make my video go viral?" Well, if there was really an answer to that, they would all be viral, right? I think it's a culmination of a lot of different things. But here's the thing I love about most about YouTube. Is it doesn't have to do with my look. It doesn't have to do even really with my knowledge. I've coached a lot of agents that have started YouTube channels that just started the business and just moved to Phoenix. And I'm like, "You guys, take your audience on your journey. Like, that's what it's about. You don't have to be an expert in an area, but you have to make common sense, right?" And that's kind of what Jackson has done. Jackson, if you watch his, he's with Living in Houston. He tells people, "I don't know anything about real estate. That's why I got so and so here," right? So, but the thing is your viewers resonate. It's a personality match. And so when people call me, It's because they've already connected with me personally. They like me. They trust me before we even talk on the phone. Do I get all the phone calls? No, but I get all the perfect calls for me. So these are people, when they call me, these are honestly my dearest friends today that we just hadn't met yet. So it's a different level. It's a completely different quality buyer. And I'm not saying that means they're all million-dollar buyers, but they're all ready to buy and they're all committed to working with me and my team.
So let's digress for a second
Yeah.
and let's take it back. So thank you for the story. Now I want you to share, because there's a bunch of questions that I have coming from a consumer's perspective, and that is, you showed me that in 2019, you did about 5 million in volume. And then was it the next year you jumped to almost 50 million?
Well, 2020, I think I actually maybe broke even. So, like,
Well,
I did.
okay, but right.
So, 2021, yeah.
Got
So,
it.
in 2019, and I actually have my little award here.
Just
It was
shy of 5 million.
5 million is nothing to sneeze at.
No.
Like, that's a good number, right? I still was ranking on different, lists, and obviously my company recognized me. I was with a small boutique real estate company at the time. Like I said, 2020, I was thankful that I was able to pay my bills.
Right.
And 2021, 50 million.
Take off year.
First year. First year.
So, and let me also point out, so the name of your channel is Living in Phoenix, and it actually is called the original Living in Phoenix, which I assume is probably just an evolution because it's tried to been copied. Now I want to point out that you have 7,200 subscribers. I'm going to say that again, 7,200 subscribers, which is really good. But when you think of it from an influencer perspective, you're thinking that's it.
Right,
But
right.
that's the bigger point, is that this doesn't have to be viral to be successful. And that's where so many people lose complete. They just don't understand that virality doesn't equal success in real estate.
Right.
It does not equate whatsoever, actually. And so it's the wrong metric to be searching for. So
I call those vanity metrics.
100%, 100%,
Yeah.
they boost your ego. They make you
Yeah.
feel good, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. So when you started this channel, what was it called, the original Living in Phoenix from the beginning, or was that something that evolved?
It was just living in Phoenix, Arizona.
Okay, so and give me the philosophy, because I know that you all believe in that particular type of name, living in versus moving to, or whatever many other concoctions you can come up with. Do you believe that that's the one, or is it just the one that you guys tend to lean on?
Well, it has a lot to do with keyword results.
Search,
And
SEO.
still, yeah. There are something, for the most part, I don't pay for advertising. That's one of the things that people, people pay for Facebook pushes,
Yeah.
or even YouTube. Like,
Like boosting effectively.
exactly. And I'll be honest with you, that is the number one thing that will kill your algorithm. You want YouTube to fall in love with you, not your money, right? It makes a huge, huge, huge difference. Needless to say,
That's important to point out, though, because I think
it is
everybody
very.
wants to see that quick growth, and so they put money behind it when it actually might actually it could hurt you.
And at the same time, too, they see big names have big, and I won't say who, but there's a local agent who is a top performing agent. They have a YouTube channel and it only has like 1,000, maybe 2,000 subscribers, but
Only. You
somehow.
say only, which getting to 1,000 subscribers is not easy.
Well, when you compare it to some of these major channels that have like 100,000, right? Okay, again, this is kind of where I'm going with this. So this particular channel has like 1,000 or 2,000 subscribers, but they have like 50,000 views on their video. So you're like, well, what are they doing? It's called putting money behind it. Like,
Interesting.
all they're doing. So there are people that are hugely successful that have YouTube channels. Okay. That's what that one person is doing. They're paying for massive blowout. They're not making money from YouTube. And when I say making money from YouTube, I don't mean in the rev
Monetization.
share. Yeah, I
Yeah.
don't mean in the monetization. I'm talking about my phone ringing, me picking it up, and closing a deal. There's different. So sometimes, again, when I've taught some of my classes, people are like, "Well, I've looked at your channel. You don't look very like you're very big." And I'm like, "Look, I don't care if there's 5,000 people that are watching my video. I want five people that are watching my video to call me. That's so I don't care if there's five views, if it's the right five people."
I love it. I love that you said that because that is the misconception that the social media world has bestowed upon social media, really. And I explain that all the time. I said the problem with most of you, and I'm talking to an audience, when you're watching someone teaching social, it's usually someone who's done it at a very high level and truly is an influencer, and they're telling you how to grow influence. Your job is not to grow influence and sell Coca-Cola or to sell whatever makeup, right? Your
So
job is
right.
to sell
Oh
real
yeah.
estate. And so it's
Yes.
like, stop chasing vanity metrics because a lot of the things that influencers teach are not applicable in real estate specifically because real estate is so massively diluted. The general tactics for social don't necessarily work for our industry because people aren't searching for that shit because we've diluted them with it, right? And I'm glad you said that because I know what you're doing. I know you're hugely successful at it. So at the 7,200 subscribers, how long did it take you to get there? Like, what was the journey from day one? Which what was day one? When did you start this channel?
So we started our videos September of 2020.
Okay, so 4 years-ish, not even quite.
Right.
Okay.
And we just started putting out videos once a week. And I remember it being Christmas time, and Jesse Dow, I wasn't really getting calls, and he's like, "Just wait, just wait, just wait."
Wait,
He's
that was
like,
important. That was important. September you started, haven't
September we
gotten calls
started,
till
and it
December,
was
which is
Christmas
very
time.
normal. Very
Yeah, and
normal.
he was
Okay.
just like, "Cheryl, you got to get your ducks in a row. I'm telling you, you're going to have systems in place. You got to have a transaction coordinator. If you need help showing properties, just get everything lined up." And he was right in my butt. And
And you're thinking to yourself, I don't have any deals. Why am I doing all this stuff?
I was really, honestly though, I was really busy with listings at this point. And so I was kind of like, "I got it, Jesse. I got it." But I was a little overwhelmed. And I'm glad
Because
it's
you didn't have time to do the videos consistently, probably.
And I still didn't know what I was doing. Like, my videos were bad.
We all got to start somewhere. It's
Yeah,
everybody.
exactly. But he just and I was commit. I felt like he put so much in me that I was like, "I'm going to absolutely meet. I make you know. I made a commitment, and I'm going to follow through." And it was like the second week of January, and of course, here in Arizona, the first second week, that's when the flood lines open up with our buyer activity. And the very first thing I do when somebody reaches out to me is I set up a Zoom call. And so I can base my conversion rate, and I can also and it changes every year, though. You know, I mean, there was a lot of people that were calling literally in January, and they're saying, "I'm going to be out there in a month," and they would buy. So again, what it was then and then today, it has a little bit longer of a time to convert. So, but you can put a solid business plan together, and again, it goes backwards. So when I look at my February Zoom calls, that tells me what my March business is going to be like, or my April. Right. And so January of that year, which was 2021, my phone was ringing off the hook. Now, a
Really?
lot of them were for rentals, and you have to learn how to speak in your videos that you're not, because I do encourage all people to reach out for anything. I want to be their resource for resources. And so I lined up another agent that could do rentals. Like, so then you start kind of scaling your work, right? You start hiring people that do things better than you do. I don't have time to show rental properties, but I found an agent that did. And I don't even charge her a referral. But it was nice that I was funneling through and helping people and providing income for families. And then I had a TC that went from, again, I could handle three deals a month. I could handle five deals a month. When I was starting to get seven, eight deals a month, I was like, "I can't do this." So I hired a transaction coordinator. So now she does it whether I have one deal or 10 deals a month. Like this month, I had 13 deals closing. There's no way I could do this by
Wow,
myself.
good for you.
And then, and yeah, and now, and this is a totally different year. But in 2021, I was doing an average of 10 to 15 deals every single month.
Wow.
Yeah.
All from YouTube?
All from YouTube.
Wow. Okay, so let's get down to brass tacks here. So you started this out, you sucked at video. The floodgates don't open immediately. What does it look like in the beginning? So there's a lot of agents right now that, again, they're digging deep. They've been ignoring all of us who've been saying do social at some, to some level. Now a lot of them want to jump in and follow, be just like Cheryl. They just want to follow you now. So talk about the journey in the beginning and, you know, how you improve, how you got over the fact that you didn't like how you looked and sounded and all the things. And talk about the content strategy and what you were focused on creating content around.
That's a lot of questions.
I know, sorry.
First of all, I have to say it's harder for women because we have a whole vanity thing going on, right? I'll be honest with you, when I go out in the field and there's no filter, I kind of am not loving it. Had to get over that. It's very difficult for women. Even, you know, it just is, okay? It just is. So you have to just kind of get over that. I definitely make more investment in my skincare products since I started my YouTube channel. that's the first thing. I would say, out of all the things that you just said, I want to talk about content. And that's how that's where it's different. We as realtors think we know what the audience wants, and it's opposite of everything a realtor would. I mean, I was there too. I would bring my MLS sheets and I would talk about the house. And then I'm like, people aren't looking on YouTube to look at one house. And that's where, again, the whole living in concept, and I'm not selling for this company called Channel Junkies, but Channel Junkies does kick everyone off in the right direction. They have a ton of free videos. And it is the whole living in concept. And that's also why I changed my name from Living in Phoenix, Arizona to Living in Phoenix, Arizona, the original, because I was the original. But here's the thing, there's enough business out there for 10 or 20 Living in Phoenix, Arizona channels. If you type in right now, and again, it's all about keywords, and that's why thumbnail is super important. That's why title is super important and content is super important. But it all starts with content, right? If you're doing a content, you know, about I don't know, a horse property, you can't really talk about, you can't say, you know, Phoenix, Arizona, cost of living. Like it has to start with the content first. So again, everything that most realtors think you should do, the what do they call it, the digital mayor, no, they don't care about the small businesses. When people, if you, if, and I tell people this all the time, they're like, well, what's your channel? And I said, I'm not going to tell you what the channel is. I would ask them this: go on YouTube right now. These are people that I just meet, whatever, right? And I say, if you were going to move to Phoenix, Arizona, or a part of Phoenix, Arizona, what would you look for on YouTube? And they're like, I don't know, moving to Phoenix or living to Phoenix or what is Phoenix like or how, you know, what, because of everything I've done with my keywords, my SEO, and my titles and thumbnail, if living in Phoenix, my channel comes up as the first.
And Google
Then Google.
or on YouTube, I guess. Same thing, essentially.
So, and that takes time, but again, it goes back, it starts with content. And I,
So what
when
type of content though? That's what I want to get down to, because you just said don't do digital mayor, and then you specifically, which I don't know that everybody even knows what that means, but
and
then you
maybe I should break
specifically
it down.
said don't do the local business highlights.
People aren't moving to Phoenix, or wherever for the businesses. They want to know what the lifestyle is like, what the quality of life is, what the pros and cons are like, what it's like to live there, and where the different neighborhoods or areas of town are. If you were moving, I always tell people, put your buyer hat on. If you were moving to another area, what would be important to you? I don't know, what's it like to live in Chandler? Okay, what's it like to live in Gilbert? What's it like to live in Scottsdale? Now, here's, that's an an interesting thing too. Most of the people that moved here to the Phoenix area, they only know maybe Phoenix and Scottsdale. Like they don't know any of the other small cities. And when you type in Scottsdale, it's a tourism, right? There is other channels that talk about nightlife and parties and events and all the restaurants and everything. That's not what buyers are looking for. And they're not looking for specific homes. Think about that too. They want to know what it's like to move to Phoenix, Arizona. And I picked Phoenix again when I started in my Facebook days. I was Chandler because I call Chandler home. But it was too micro for people that were moving to the greater Phoenix area. And so I immediately, well, you know, so my Facebook was Chandler and I moved to YouTube as Living in Phoenix. Someone just recently posted on one of the Facebook groups I belong to. He's like, "What am I doing wrong?" And he put on his title something about blah, 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 Southern California. I'm like, "How big is Southern California? You can't, nobody's like, what's it like to move to Southern California?" Like you got to be a
Too
more
broad.
specific, but you don't want to be too specific. So you do have to pick like a larger metro area. I've seen that mistake with agents in Florida too. Like they're like, well, I don't want to do a big, large metro area because it includes it's because I don't want to deal with the $300,000 or $400,000 buyers. I'm like, why? You could do 10 $400,000 buyers and only pick up one or two $2 million buyers. Everybody thinks they can go straight for those high volume. I'm
Not to
telling you.
mention the more units you do, the more referrals you get. And that
Oh, for
people
sure.
overlook that all the time.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to this content. So now you're kind of explaining it broadly, but I want you to get more tactical about some ideas. So when somebody's just starting out and they want to emulate this and they're in a market where really nobody's doing it at a high level, what would be, for example, the top, like the first five videos I should do on my channel
Pros and cons of
of
whatever the
living
city
there?
is. Yep. So I would do like if I was starting a brand new channel in Phoenix, yeah, I'm giving it straight out to my competition, right? That's okay. Competition is great. So number one, living in Phoenix, Arizona, pros and cons. You would be shocked at how many people go, "I didn't know it got there, got that hot there." I'm like, "What rock have you been living under?"
It's the desert. Hello.
Okay, pros and cons there. Top five mistakes buyers make when moving to Phoenix, Arizona. That would be another one. People like countdowns, by the way. They love pros and cons
Top
and they
five
love
stuff.
numbers, right? I think I would do top five things for people moving to Phoenix, Arizona, like how to move to Phoenix, Arizona. And again, keep this broad at first, okay? Don't pigeonhole yourself. And everybody always wants to go for the most expensive part of the greater Phoenix area, or you know what I mean? Like moving to Seattle. Like when I talk about like the five biggest things, people ask me, they're like, how do I make this journey? Number one, purge your home. Wherever you live, you're going to start going through all your stuff, get rid of stuff. Don't bring your junk to Phoenix. So again, that would just be like my very first one, my five things. I would then pick a new hot, trendy area. So this is again where I say people, you have to learn to pivot and you have to who moved my cheese. In 2023, I did 42 new home construction transactions, all from YouTube. If I went back 2 years ago, it was all resale. You have to keep your eye and ear on what's going on nationally, because again, what are the buyers going to be drawn to? When we saw very little resale, I realized I got to start showing some new construction. Whereas before, people didn't like new construction because it was way out there, right? Because cities grow from the center out, right? At least in Phoenix, and we have massive suburbs. So I started doing new construction. And so I'd be like, hey, let's go check out this new community. And this is again why you don't have to be the local area expert. That's another thing. You don't try and sell yourself. They don't want to hear about that. They want to get straight into the video what you're talking about. Anyways, so new construction, let's go check out this neighborhood. And literally, I'm driving down the freeway, you know, and I'm like making comment. I'm like, I don't know if I like this drive out in the middle of the desert. And then you go, you know, so you're introducing this neighborhood. Be authentic, be organic. Forget about like cheat sheets and talking tracks and speak from the heart. You can always edit things out if it doesn't come out right. Just be honest. I'm telling you, the viewers know the difference. And so the last 2 years, a year and a half, I've been planting the seed and I am now benefiting what's growing from those trees. So when I started doing new construction, boom, all my numbers were exploding, right? So again, I don't know, you know, we're talking kind of more generically, and I think every market has something else that's going on. Find out what that is and figure out what the consumer is looking for. And those are like, for me, it was new construction. So introducing new communities.
Got
A
it.
big thing too is that, you know, I've tried things too specific. Don't be too, I should say, don't be too specific. Like for instance, for a family moving here, oh, that's another thing too. Realtors are so scared to use words that they feel like they're going to get in trouble for. It's okay to say family. It's okay to say mature adult. Right? It's okay to say this is a great area for families because it has a ton of parks and it has, you know, clubhouse and this and that. It's okay to say that. And people are very nervous about that. But what I was going to say is put the hat on from a buyer. What I like to do is if I'm highlighting a city, I like to talk about the top 10 reasons why Chandler is or maybe isn't the right place for you. And I talk about all the different things. So we're talking about jobs, medical, schools, housing. People want to see houses. They want to see you walking through homes. They don't want to see pictures from MLS. They can see that all by themselves. So get off your butt and go out there. People love, they call them vlogs. So if you're walking around with, I don't have my equipment, and you don't need a lot of equipment, by the way. iPhone 15, fantastic camera. I'm walking around and I'm like, they want to see you walking around the town. I do this. If I do a video like this, it's called a bobblehead. I do bobblehead and vlog combined in all of my videos.
So, and now I was going to point out too some of the other, as I was looking through the most popular videos that you guys have had, some of the titles are similar, like I had no idea videos. There's multiples of those, or shocking truths, or could you live here? That kind of stuff. It appears to me that that has, well, the data doesn't lie. They've performed. They've gotten a lot of views. Now that doesn't necessarily equate
I was
to
just gonna say,
transactions.
yep. And so when I get phone calls from some of them are wide cast, like purposely to go out there and get more people versus the more refined. Like for instance, here's a new community list, go check it out. I probably every time I do one of those videos, I probably get two or three calls.
Say that again. Which type?
When I talk about a specific neighborhood or a specific community, I
So
get
like Chandler, Arizona, great city, question mark.
that's a great, so that is again, if I was to like categorize different type of videos, like the other one, like I had no idea. I don't know how many views is that up to now? 100,000?
Which one?
Just I had no idea.
There's one with Jackson that's got 103,000.
So that one is a wide cast, right? That one was set up for kind of communicating to YouTube what we were establishing our channel as.
Got it.
And then we started to refine it, and that's how YouTube loves my videos. Like they've been really good to me. Like again, this is all authentic. So but again, it depends on the area. So again, like Jackson's channel that has, I don't know if he's got 15 or 20,000 or 30,000 followers now, he can get 100,000 views in a weekend. I can't get that.
Yeah.
But for me, if I, so I release my videos now, and again, this is you have to watch metrics. You have to watch your analytics. You have to review it. You have to see where things are working, where things aren't working. You're always tweaking it, and YouTube's always changing. Just like every other social media platform, it changes, right? I think a lot of people, like we talked about the intros, they used to, YouTube loved the intros. YouTube doesn't like intros now. Like I don't want to say it penalizes people, but if you get straight into your video quicker, you're going to have a longer average view duration, and you're also going to get a higher click-through rate, which is a
So
CTR.
rather than having like, what do you mean by when you're saying that to someone, what does that mean to someone who doesn't understand or has never
Okay.
heard of the YouTube video?
So the older style videos, and when I say older style videos, I mean like in 2020, 21, 22, the videos would start out with, "Hi, this is Cheryl Willis with Related Now, coming at you from Phoenix, Arizona. We're here." I don't even remember what it is. I haven't done it in so long. But we're going to be talking a little bit about living in Phoenix, Arizona. If you're thinking about moving here, you got to give us a call. We are getting calls every single day, and we love it. Look, all you got to do, like, it's that whole preface of a video. Bore yawn,
What
that's what.
about leading with a hook? Like, what about grabbing like, you know, just something, a powerful question or statement or line, even from the middle of the video, or you know, just generally speaking, a hook.
So there used to be, again, it was an intro, and then there was a hook, and then it went into the video. So now I just start my videos. So if you have been thinking about moving in a lake community, I have the best one here for you.
That's
Let's
a hook.
start with exactly what we're talking
That's
about.
a good hook. Yep.
Like within 15 seconds, I'm already in the video.
Yeah, I got you. Yep. So no fluff.
No, people don't care about my name. We'll pop it up on the screen.
Yeah.
People don't want to hear how great I am
No,
or how
they're
my
not there
connection.
for Cheryl, though. They're for the content. They're there to
You
learn about
got it.
Phoenix. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Get over yourself. I like that. It's a good. Now, I want to jump to equipment because you mentioned it and or lack thereof, and
Yep.
I think that is definitely something that paralyzes people. So a cell phone, perfectly adequate.
Yeah. And I would.
What about a gimbal? What about a tripod? What about microphone? What about lighting?
Yeah. Well, I think that to start, and I can't talk about Google phones. I'm an iPhone girl. I
Because
actually
that's the only one
started,
that matters.
yeah. So the i15 Pro Max, because you have the triple camera. I don't even need a tripod. I don't even need a gimbal. I got this little ring here, and I can control this puppy like.
So if you're not watching, you're just listening. She's got a little holder that attaches to the back. You stick your
Got
finger
it.
through, you hold on to it.
That's it right there. That's it right
In
there.
other words, the stabilization inside of most of the upgraded iPhones or cell phones now are very good.
Yeah. And again, that's not where I started with. Like, again, technology changes. But I'll tell you what I grabbed today to go and film are two things, maybe three. And you don't need to start with this. But my biggest passion now is my drone. So I think it brings a completely different level of coverage. You're going to want to make sure you get your drone pilot license, a 107, which isn't that difficult to get, just to let you know. It's just something else that you can add to your repertoire. And from also being, again, a specialist, I'm a relocation specialist. So if somebody is buying a home virtually, which we do have a lot of virtual sales, they don't come out here until after they close. I actually will fly my drone over their house and their neighborhood. And so that, again, I'm providing a different level of service. Being a remote, a relocation
I was
specialist.
going to ask you if you fly your own drone. What
Yes.
type of drone do you have?
I just bought a DJI Mini 4.
Got it.
And I like this one the best. I actually started with a Mini 2, I think. I can't remember because it was a lower price. And my thought was if I'm going to crash a drone, I'd rather only lose $600 instead of $1,200. But I'll be honest with you, the 4 is so much easier to fly. Oh my God. I did crash my 4. It was bad.
How?
Make sure you get insurance. Backing up into a power line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I try to go above power lines just so I don't bring that into the fray. But yeah, I know what you mean.
It was too far, like, anyways.
Yeah, you couldn't see the drone probably. It was too far away. I get
Well, it was the capability of these drones, you could be a mile away and still flying, you know. So
Yeah.
anyways, it crashed, it burned, but you know what? Wow. They my insurance covered everything. Like, I was shocked. Like,
Nice.
absolutely shocked. So just get that. But it's easier to fly the four. It's about $1,000, $1,100 investment. Get yourself some extra batteries. And the other thing I did buy was a little microphone. You don't have to get really expensive, but I have a buyer agent that sometimes we hit the road together, and so we're both wearing the mic. So while I'm still doing the camera, it'll pick up both our voices.
I love it. I love it.
That's it.
So we've covered equipment. We've covered some of the videos. And here's what I would suggest, because honestly, we could have this conversation for hours.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But the best thing you can do if you're looking to get into YouTube is just go watch. And so in Cheryl's case, it's the original Living in Phoenix. And here's what I would suggest. Don't just focus on the most popular videos. Go back to some of those oldest ones.
Bad ones.
Watch the cringy stuff. Because here's why. It's gonna show you that we all start there. All of us, all of us. Like, we all sucked at video at one time. And the only way you get better is practicing and doing it. And it sounds to me like that's exactly how you overcame, you know, what everybody has to go through, which is not being a natural on camera, which none of us are. So go do a little stalking, go watch some of Cheryl's videos. Learn from this and figure out what's going to work for you. I do have one last question if you've got a second.
Of course.
You
Yeah.
guys only live in the long form. You mentioned that you do one a week. Now, there's other YouTubers that swear by shorts to help growing the channel. Everybody's got a different opinion on this. Give your opinion on why you only live in the long form, why no shorts, and then maybe why you choose the once a week cadence.
Okay, so again, multiple questions, multiple layers.
Sorry, I
So
really kind of layer that on, don't I? My
that's
bad.
okay. Yeah. If you are looking for YouTube to love your channel, and push it out there, that's what it really, the impressions are so important. And so I'm talking like 8,000 for me anyways, 8,000, 10,000 impressions. It's important that we have they want to promote your video because viewers watch your video and they can obviously show those damn commercials, right? That's what it's all about for YouTube, right? If my subscribers are grown by watching 2-minute videos, YouTube's like, okay,
Or 30 second.
or 30-second videos, like that's going to only hurt what they call, again, the average view duration. This is so funny. When Jackson and Jesse would, they would call it average, a view duration, a view duration. I'm like, what's that word? What's a view duration? And they're like, average view duration. I was like, okay, blonde moment. You want to have high impressions. You want to have a high click-through rate. But at the same time, if you have really high impressions, know that you're going to have a lower click-through rate because YouTube is doing you a favor and they're testing a whole new market for you. They're pushing your video out, and that click-through rate's going to actually go down, but hopefully your view duration is going to go up. And again, with short form, that does not happen. Like, it doesn't happen. There's a difference for me personally, even too. When I'm done for the day and I sit down on my couch and I just start kind of going through, I like going through Reels or TikTok or whatever. That's for purely entertainment. That's not for knowledge based. In fact, more than 55%, I think it's getting closer to 60% of the videos that are being watched on YouTube now are on full screen TV. People don't watch shorts on big TVs. It's kind of a pain in the butt, right? Not ran into, I was at Costco the other day and this guy comes up to me and he's like, "Do I know you?" And I was like, "I don't think so." And he's like, "Do I look familiar?" I'm like, "No." And he's like, "What do you do?" And at this point, I just tell people I do YouTube because that's kind of more of what I do than really real estate. But I go, "I'm on YouTube." And he goes, "That's it. You're on my TV every single night." Right? The smart TVs, they have like suggestions. Yeah. So you're not going to get that kind of exposure with shorts.
Yeah, not to mention that celebrity status that you and I were talking about off air. And I know it's hard for people to wrap their head around that, but that is the reality. That's the way we're wired because we all, everyone, including boomers, grew up watching a television, a box. And so it's like, and then you just automatically associated someone on a screen as famous. And I know that's changed. It's definitely evolved, but there's still just a way that we're wired because most humans in general are never going to be on that screen. So therefore, invariably, if you put yourself on a screen, you're going to have some fame. And guess what? People want to do business with those people. And Cheryl, you are living, breathing proof of that. And clearly the dude in Costco, that was validation, right?
Yeah. And he lives in my city. And again, most of my, again, my audience is from outside of Arizona moving
Yeah.
into the greater Phoenix area. So it's nice to be, it is kind of funny. I feel like almost anytime I go out into a large public area, like again, the Phoenix Open I just recently went to, same thing happened at Barrett Jackson. Now those are people from outside. They're like, that's Cheryl Willis. I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. But
Just I'll sign autographs. It's okay.
yeah. But what one of the things I wanted to add, you didn't really ask a question about it. So I have 5-star average on Google reviews. I get a lot of leads from Google. I still get inquiries on Facebook and Instagram. So YouTube is my
Cornerstone.
cornerstone. And then I have all the others just to kind of back it up because let me tell you, when people find you on YouTube, they'll do your research.
Yeah.
They'll So before they call me, they know all about me. It is kind of strange. So they know all about me. Here's the thing. When people call me from YouTube, it's not, hey, I'm just like tire kicking, or I might not be buying for a few years, or I don't know if I even qualify. I don't have any money. It is a completely different level buyer. It is, I'm already pre-qualified. I have a couple $100,000 saved. I'm moving there with a job. I'm qualified. My average client that I get is somewhere between $700,000 and $900,000. Again, I have above and below, right? I just closed a 1.7 the other day, and I also closed a 3.75, right? So, but again, it's okay. I'm dealing with volume, but the quality of buyers. I had a call, a Google call, and I hate to say it, but it was, I actually told him, I don't think I'm the right realtor for you. I'm going to suggest you call someone else. And he was even stunned. He's like, what? You don't want my business? And I was like, I just think that you're looking for a different type of a realtor, and I don't have the time to give you what you deserve. On YouTube, it affords me to pick the people
Cherry
I want
pick.
to work with.
Love it. You know, what you just told me is that when you rank the social platforms, I think YouTube probably would qualify as bottom of funnel. And probably a TikTok is more top of funnel. And that's a good way to look at it because that is speaking typically a realtor's language, is understanding top, middle, bottom of funnel. And I think YouTube would qualify in the social media realm as a bottom of funnel lead. And I do think also, Cheryl, that's why a lot of agents are now wanting or thinking they need to pursue this. And this is why we want to create this series and talk more about just various experiences from different agents from different levels. I'd classify you as an expert level on YouTube, and you're doing an incredible job. Thank you so much for sharing. I look forward to seeing
Oh.
you in a couple of weeks in Phoenix.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
And we're just going to have to keep getting that word out and sharing. You keep crushing, keep doing what you do, keep being an inspiration. And I look forward to staying in touch with you.
Thank you. All right. Bye.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Power ISA, the industry experts in real estate ISAs. Get more appointments. Make sure your follow-up gets done on time and you get the most out of your leads. Get a great ISA for real estate on your team and watch the results roll in. Power ISA has served over 1,200 agents in the US and Canada since 2015, and it's the one-stop shop for everything you need to get a great inside sales agent on your team. Whether it's setting appointments with your internet leads or making outbound prospecting calls to help you get more listings, Power ISA can get it done for you. Visit powerisa.com/LCA to get started. That's powerisa.com/LCA. Lab Coat Agents Podcast.